This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Honored that you are tuning in today. Feel free to reach out to us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. You call in and we'll chat all about some of the situations that you're facing in everyday life. Maybe it's relational, maybe it's financial, maybe it's professional. I don't know. Just give us a ring and we will chat. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address one more time is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Couldn't believe it. I looked down at my phone and saw that it's September 26th. What? Almost October. Can you believe that? Now, producer Bob, I don't know if you can hear it in the air. It's a little jingle in the air. A little jingle jingle. Yeah, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about Christmas. Folks, as of yesterday, there are only 90 days until Christmas. And you may be thinking, oh, 90 days. That's a long time, right? No big deal. Folks, if you get paid twice a month, like most Americans, that's only 6 or 7 more paychecks. Don't let it sneak up on you. This is a true stewardship community. Even if you're a first-time listener, join the community. This is more than a show. This is True Stewardship Nation. A little tribute to college football there. But Christmas is on the same time every year. Same day, same time every year. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. So save now so you don't have to pay later. You do not want your March self to hate your December self. You don't want to be paying for Christmas in February and March and April. So consider yourself warned. Christmas is coming 90 days away. Oh man, I was excited to, look down at my schedule too. I looked down at my calendar and saw that. And I also saw that I'm going to be out at Mariners Church this weekend out in the LA area. Their entire church of something like 20,000 people. They're going to send their entire church through Financial Peace University at the same time. So big, huge shout out to Mariners Church out there in the LA area. Can't wait to hang out there and see the nice weather as well, for sure. Anyway, again, the phone number is 866-357-3283, and it looks like we've got Nicole on the line. She's calling in from Pittsburgh. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thanks. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How can I serve you?
So I've been listening to Dave for the past about 3 months or so, and I've created that snowball and everything. And my husband actually has been given an opportunity to change positions or change jobs. Mm-hmm. And we took out 403B and a 401K loan a year ago, and we took them out for 5 years. And now I'm kind of confused on, I don't know what we should do. Like, where does that fall in our debt snowball mm-hmm. if he does take the new position?
Well, he'll have to pay it back ASAP. That's part of the dynamics of that particular type of loan. Is he leaning towards taking the job?
Yes. They contacted him and told him they'll be calling him in the next couple weeks to set up an actual person-to-person or face-to-face interview. But it sounds pretty promising. So if he does take the position, I just don't know. I mean, we either lose the money. I know we shouldn't take out another loan, but we don't want to lose the money either.
Yeah. How much better is this job than the current one? Well, from the standpoint of pay and fulfillment benefits, all those kind of things.
There's a lot of opportunity. He doesn't have benefits now. He works for a very small company. This company he's looking at offers benefits, gives him a vehicle, covers the insurance on that vehicle, and it's a very large company that's like a Swedish company. Mm-hmm. So there's room for him to grow. He could go anywhere, basically, in the world.
Okay.
That's a really, really good opportunity.
Has he looked into the variables of his 401k loan, how long he has to pay it back and all those kind of things?
Yes. So it is a total of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Borrowed $20,000. We're a year into it, and he owes about $17,000.
And you're asking, should you take the job, or are you saying, how do I get out of the loan? What's specifically your question?
Well, so he wants to take the job because I think it's going to help him in the long run.
Okay.
However, I just don't know, looking at my debt snowball, where does that fall? Because I categorize that, you know, from largest to smallest. However, this opportunity came about. So
yeah.
I just don't know where that goes. I don't know. Do we just take the hit and lose the money? I know we shouldn't take out a loan, but we don't want to lose all that money we put in.
Yeah, I don't think you have to lose it.
That's kind of what we're struggling with.
Yeah, I think you either, you know, obviously you don't take the job. That's one option, which you're deciding to take the job. Or you say you can take the job maybe in 6 months, and then for 4 to 6 months, you absolutely crank it and pay off that $17,000 with extra work. Or a third option could be maybe take out another loan that covers that, okay, that releases this tie to your former employer, and maybe it's a little bit less advantageous on the terms, but it probably isn't. It'd probably be actually more favorable. And then what you're going to want to do after you do that, because you obviously know who you're calling, and I don't like that as your third option. I don't really like you taking out a loan. Put a plan together to pay it off in, let's see, 17. How much is he going to get paid in this new job?
I think the base is 35, and then he'll receive commission on top of that.
Okay. And what's your estimation on his total salary?
After he gets commissions, I don't know all the details of yet, but I would assume at least 50 to 60.
Okay. That's what I was going to guess too. If, you know, all the extras of the new job, let's say he's going from 35 to 60, or he's going from 40 to 60, all the extras of that new job, I would keep the lifestyle you're living now, and all the extras go towards paying off that loan. And so you can be out of it in 6 to 8 months, maybe even 4 months. But as soon as you get that new job, start killing that new loan. And here's what we want to learn from. And this is not just you. This is all of us listening in. The Bible says, Proverbs 22:7, it says the borrower is slave to the lender. And this is a perfect example that you feel kind of tied. That's that slave part. And this is for all of us because you're not alone in this. And then Proverbs 26:11 says this: as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. And the reason why I bring that up is because a lot of us have gotten out of debt, and I just know you're going to be completely out of baby step two in a very near future. Just remember this feeling and journal it, because a lot of us have done that and felt this feeling, got out of it, and then we went back, and I don't want you to do the same thing. So I'm pretty excited about where you're going to be in the next 6 months, and I think you're going to be just fine.
Okay.
Thank you for your advice. Nicole, we appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, honored to be your host. And what you just heard is a typical phone call that happens on the show. If you're new and you're listening in, you're like, okay, what's this show all about? Well, this show is all about people calling in and asking, what does the Bible say about stewardship? What does the Bible say about how to handle our lives relationally and financially? And so what we do is we look into the Bible and we say, hey, what does it say? Okay, he wants us to stay away from debt. It says the borrower is slave to the lender. It also says in Romans 13:8, to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. We look at those kind of things. And then the whole idea is that we would look at that through the eyes of hope, that there is hope in our situation. And my goal as you call in and as you listen is that you're filled with encouragement, that you're filled with empowerment, and that you're actually equipped with some good practical handles on how to walk through your day-to-day decisions.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Picture this. You have a great job and plenty of money in savings, but you're afraid to take the leap into home ownership. What should you do, rent or buy? Well, the fact is, buying a home sets you up for building wealth. So if it's a reasonable expense in your budget, you're better off buying. Talk to my friends at Churchill Mortgage to help you build a smarter plan today. Call 855-LOAN-200 or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal Housing Lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown. The phone number is 866-357-3283, and we're also on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Chris Brown On Air is the handle. I see here this kind of a little shout out to my friend Kyle Rogers. I actually met Kyle at one of our Momentum events. He's a pastor, and he says, "Hey, Chris Brown On Air, love your podcast. Challenging and enlightening. Thanks for being faithful and intentional." He's referring to the podcast. If you're listening on radio, this show is also on iTunes, so make sure you check it out, Chris Brown's True Stewardship. All right, are we ready for our next call? This is Josh. He's calling in from South Bend, Indiana. Josh, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better every day. I said Indiana, and Amanda, our associate producer, actually puts her hand up, like raise the roof. She's from Indiana, so she's pretty excited about that. Yep. And she should never be doing that raise the roof moment, but she did it pretty well.
I'm glad to be a part of it, Chris.
I'm going
to
get it for that one. Oh, Josh, how can I help you today?
Hey, bud. So basically what I've got going on, I'm in baby step number two, just about out of baby step number two. Just a quick shout out to the Dave Ramsey Show. You guys have literally changed my life. I've been working in a factory for 13 years, and Dave's help and guidance has put us to a place where I could, I'm in a completely different spot now than what I was just 2 years ago when I started. Very, very thankful for that. Completely changed my life, so thank you for that.
That's great to hear.
So basically, we're in baby step number two right now. We have went from 40-some thousand in debt. We're down to just almost under $3,000. So a question that Dave always asks is, so do you love the house? So in our case, we hate our house. So I haven't heard that too many times on the show when I listen to the podcast and things like that. I haven't heard, so if we do hate the house, at what point in time do you consider buying something that's nicer that, you know, you can afford the payment, but you can't afford it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Here's the deal. So let me ask you, what exactly do you hate about the house? Because we want to make sure that we're not making a decision for the wrong reasons. So is it neighborhood? Is it size? Is it location? What is it that you hate about the home?
So we love everything about the home as far as the location. Size, not so much. My wife's a high school teacher. She's a mile away from the school. That's fantastic. We live out in the country. That's fantastic. It's the home itself. It was built by a family member. We've done a ton of work to it, and we feel like we keep spending money on it, and we're not getting anywhere as far as getting it to the and even if we put all of the money into it that it needed, I still don't feel like we'd like the house.
Yeah. So what I hear from you is you don't necessarily want to spend that much more. You just want a different house. You don't want a big, huge, gigantic house. You just want a different one.
Right. So we've looked at homes and stuff. We've talked about. I'm big into goals, life goals. In the next 5 years, we want to have the house paid for. 10 years, we want to have 10 homes paid for in cash rental properties, and then millionaires by the time we're 60.
That's awesome. Those are good goals.
Yeah. So my thing is, my wife and I have talked about either buying a nicer house, and then I know Dave talks about it too. You know, what does it take to make your wife happy? And I want my wife to be happy. But at the same time, we've thought about buying a house with the equity in our home. And just buying a not very nice house, and that would be our first rental. And I guess this is kind of more of a spiritual question. How do you feel about doing something like that instead of just buying a nice house to make my wife happy?
I think you got to stick with the plan that's made you effective so far. You've gone from whatever you said, 50,000, 60,000 in debt to down to 3. and you got to stick with the plan. I think if you're asking for me to give you the go-ahead to go ahead and buy a house right now today, I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some parameters and some things to run a filter through for this decision. Okay, so first of all, you want to make sure that $3,000 is paid off before you even think about it.
Okay.
Then you want to make sure you have a full emergency fund. Okay, so that's next.
Okay.
Then you want to make sure that you put, some of this might sound familiar to you, but 10 to 20% down. You just want to make sure you avoid PMI on that next house. And you've got equity in your home, I'm assuming.
Right.
So that shouldn't be a problem, right?
Right.
Okay. You want to make sure you go after a 15-year fixed rate. And you want to make sure that your payment is no more than 25% of your take-home pay. When all of that goes into play, you're great. Now, here's one more filter for you, okay? You want to make sure you put as much down as possible. If your goals really are to have those 10 rentals paid for, if you want to make sure that you have your house paid off in the next 5 years, you want to make sure the more that you put down, the better. So interest paid as a penalty, interest received as a reward. You want to get on the right side of that as fast as possible. So here's two filters for you and your wife to kind of go through. I want you guys to sit down and read Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It's called the Parable of Bags of Gold.
Okay.
And a whole thing is, if you run this decision, whether you buy a house, you change homes next month, 4 months from now, 2 years from now, run it through that filter and pray over it. That'll help you. Here's another one. Just to put things into perspective, as Paul kind of concludes his letter to the Philippians, he turns his attention to addressing a gift that the Philippian church sent to him. And as Paul expresses his gratitude for that gift, he also teaches us some great truths when he says this. He says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." This is Paul. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength," Philippians 4, 10 through 13. So if you will just dive into those two passages as a couple, that'll tell you whether you do that 2 months from now, 6 months from now, or 15 months from now. But
sure,
if you follow those parameters on a practical level, full emergency fund, paid off baby step two, 10 to 20% down, avoid PMI, 15-year fixed rate, no more than 25% on your take-home pay for your PITI payment. That's your filter.
Yes, sir. And we've actually quoted the scriptures to one another, too. still has to help our desire, I guess, to live in something just a little bit nicer. But I do really appreciate the advice. I think it was good, solid, godly advice, and that's what I wanted to hear. So I thank you for that, sir.
Well, good. Well, we're cheering you on, and I know you'll make the right call.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. That whole contentment thing, that is the foundation to good finances. It really is. It is the foundation, whether you're wrapped up in entitlement. And sometimes it's sneaky. It's really sneaky. And that situation is no different than any of the situations we've been in. Josh obviously has a level head. He's obviously a winner. He's obviously going in the right direction. But we have these moments where we're like, oh, should I? But if we go back down to what has actually led us to success, contentment, that's why he's where he's at now compared to where he was before, because of contentment. We can either be wrapped up in as some sneaky entitlement or in contentment. And that's what's winning for him right now. And so I think this contentment thing's such a big deal. I think I'm actually, Bob, I think I'm going to actually do a full teaching on this tomorrow. I think we really need to dive into this thing of contentment. So folks, as you're listening in, maybe you're listening on the radio and you're like, well, I don't know if I can get to the radio tomorrow to listen to this teaching of contentment. Make sure you check out the podcast. It's on iTunes. You could also check it out at stewardship.com. We actually put the show every single day on stewardship.com and iTunes. So check that out. But we're going to be talking about contentment in its entirety tomorrow. So if you're curious about that, because I've actually referred to contentment and somebody was like, contentment, what does that mean? Is that some kind of lack of ambition? Is that some kind of apathy? No. We're going to dive into it tomorrow. Well, folks, you know, one of the most dangerous traps in our lives is a lack of contentment, but also comparison. You ever compared what you have to other people? I've struggled with it throughout my life and in ministry and with money. In fact, Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. That's why I recommend Rachel Cruze's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. Rachel focuses on this damaging money habit of comparison and walks you through solutions to comparison living. She unpacks six other healthy money habits for living the life that we really want without being buried under debt and stress and worry. So are you tired of trying to keep up with the Joneses? You're ready to put that time and energy into living the life that you want. Love Your Life, Not Theirs will show you how. If you go to stewardship.com, this new book is available to pre-order in a special offer that includes over $70 worth of free bonus items for just $20. But this is the last week to pre-order the book and get those free items. So go to stewardship.com, pre-order this incredible bundle for $20 this week only.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
We're taking your calls at 866-357-3283. And this next call comes in from Birmingham, Alabama. This is Warren. Warren, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How's it going?
Oh, I'm better every day. You enjoying your Roll Tide?
Yeah. I'm originally from Philadelphia, but I'm enjoying my War Eagle. So, we're all good.
There you go.
I have a love on both sides, so it's okay.
Oh, it's all good. How can I help you?
My initial question kind of actually stems from Rachel Cruze, just listening to her and kind of some of the things that she says and taking her 14-day challenge. One in particular area she focused on was saying, give a little until you can give more or a lot. And I just wonder if I'm taking that, advice or guidance out of context, because I'm in a position now where I'm trying to get through baby step one. And I've been trying for a while, and it's kind of just been harder, I guess, than expected. and I just want to make sure, is tithing maybe 5% versus 10%, ideal while trying to complete that baby step? Going through Malachi, he talks about bringing all, and, it's just kind of tough right now. So I'm just trying to figure out if that's the right or proper move. Am I honoring God in it and things like that?
Yeah, well, you're kind of walking me into a hornet's nest here. There's lots of opinions out there about this, but it's fine. What's cool about this show is we don't get any hate mail, which I'm pretty excited about. We get people that, but this is the one topic where I will get a couple emails saying, hey, have you ever thought about another way to look at this? But the more I look at scriptures and I look at all of them, and Malachi 3 is the one that came to my mind the quickest. You've got 100% of money that's been entrusted to you each and every paycheck, and that 10% would be the 10% I don't want you to play with. And I don't think the Bible does either. There's absolutely no evidence, biblical evidence, of a time or a scenario where we should stop tithing. I'm not talking about legalism, or I want you to tithe out of your faith and, where your treasure is, there's your heart, out of your heart and out of overflow. But there's a difference between, when you hear Rachel say that, there's a difference between tithing and giving, and tithing is more of a returning. And she's actually talking about giving, which is that actual giving after the tithe. And so Malachi 3:6 for our listeners through 12, I believe, says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord. But you ask, how are we to return? What are you talking about? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And here it is. And this is not just for you. I'm not, Warren, you're asking a very innocent question that everyone wonders.
Yeah.
This is for all of us. In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe, this is what you refer to, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. It's like he knew we were going to have this debate, right? Says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. This is where people get scared, like, test me in this, and it gets a little extreme. It's like, you're going to get a Mercedes tomorrow if you do this. It's not, but here's how he shows up, very subtly. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. And that was obviously an agricultural world then. And the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. See, things are going to naturally start to work a little bit better because you're following a system. Not everything won't be perfect, right, but things you're going to be walking in obedience. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. And so the reason why I tell you not to touch that is because I want you to experience it. I want you to experience God's economy, not our economy. So just I would challenge you to squeeze the budget a little bit tighter and shave that 5% somewhere else, okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Warren.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Don't forget, this is the last week to pre-order Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, and receive over $70 worth of free bonus items. And that's all at stewardship.com. Folks, it's been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.